Hanging with you, KVN Nation, at 800-990-3776. My name's Ben Bruss, alongside Kyle Wallace, our Packer backer. You decide if you believe that or not. Brad Nordman, Super Bowl 50 runner-up, longtime NFL punter and holder of kickers.
Indeed.
Was it cool to hold? Could you see
cool.
the kick from down there?
Yeah. And I usually knew if it was going in or not.
Based off the kick or based off of their reaction?
How it came off the foot and like then looking at the ball. Like once the ball gets a quarter of the way there, I'm like, ooh, that's either making it or it's not.
What do you do when somebody misses?
That's all right, buddy. Get him next time.
Yeah, you just kind of like the helmet tap.
I mean, even when you're like a game losing field goal.
I was never part of a game losing field goal.
Oh, wow.
I was
that's
part
surprising
of, like,
considering your second place record.
Well, I was a great holder. I'm not even gonna lie. I was a really good holder. Like that's something that
I was part of
three game winning kicks. One that was like a 50-plus yard on Monday Night Football in the rain
from
the leg of Graham Gouneau. Yeah, it was fun. Those were fun moments to be a part of.
Were you nervous about dropping in the rain?
Is he a part of it?
Yeah, he's part of it. He got the snap, the hold, and the kick.
That's critical, Ben.
It is.
Critical.
Nobody shouts out the holder after the kick.
The kicker does.
The only time that you
get
glory as a holder is when you mess up.
Well, that's not glory. That's hate.
Tony Romo, we still remember the slick ball. It was a slick ball he couldn't hold on to.
Brad Nordman claims that he would trade one of the Packers' top four wide receivers for Ravens kicker Justin Tucker. Would you do it? It's trickling up a little bit. 37% say yes. I think that's a hefty, healthy percentage for you know your argument, Brad.
That is pretty good. I mean, look. It's not a sexy stance to take, but people that know football, I think they get it.
Yeah, and if you know football and you follow football and you're all about the green and gold, it sounds like, based off some of the plays I was reading to Kyle earlier from the bloggers and beat reporters on Twitter X, that the offense had a pretty good day, a slow start, and then Jordan Love picked it up. Anders Carlson had a really good day, and the defensive line for the Green Bay Packers was disruptive, which you like to hear in a new scheme of 4-3, getting some pressure, getting to Lamar, making him run not on design. And so the conversation over the last 2 weeks-ish has been, all right, three plays from the Green Bay Packers. Dontavion Wicks touchdown, one series, three plays. Was that good enough? Would you be okay? I think we put out a poll. If you only saw those three plays, would you be okay with not seeing the rest of the starters play at all in the preseason? That started to shift a little bit when Matt LaFleur came out last week, early in the week, and said that the starters were not likely going to play, and basically said aren't going to play, in their Sunday night game against the Broncos because they had a joint practice where they were emphasizing getting lots of production and learning a lot from that practice. Well, they learned a lot, but they did not come ready to play. They did not do well. And then in the preseason game with 31 starters out, the effort, the grit, and the energy that Matt LaFleur was looking for wasn't there. He then starts the week by saying, I don't know what the plan is for the last preseason game. The players that play in it will be determined by how they play in this week's practices. Based off the performance today, and we'll hear from Jason Wilde at 3:15, if you're Matt LaFleur, do you feel confident not playing your starters on Saturday before you play the Philadelphia Eagles in the next time we will see the starters likely in a real game? 800-990-3776, what say you?
I've seen just enough. I've seen just enough to not put the starters out there. I would still contend, maybe it's an old school mentality, I would love to see them go out there and play maybe one series just to really get into it, but they needed this. The Green Bay Packers offense and defense, particularly offense, they needed this. Let's be honest, this offense is a little streaky, right? I mean, when they're feeling it, holy cow, it's like NBA Jam where they're on fire, right? I mean, it doesn't matter who you throw out there, they're going to beat you. But when they're off, they're a little off. The only question is how long does it take before they get going and how long can they sustain it? I would be concerned if we didn't see it, if we didn't see the rhythm, if we didn't see the fire, if we didn't see what this offense is capable of. So I said earlier in the week, if the Packers play against the Ravens, like they did against the Broncos in practice, you got to play them because you need to discover that rhythm. It sounds like maybe an okay 11 on 11, but red zone, move the ball, all the other situational where it's one versus ones, it sounds like they were on fire and heating up were the words from the beat reporters on the sideline. So to me, I've seen enough. They have found the rhythm. They have found their heat. And to risk injury, I would say I'd be okay if I didn't see them play on Saturday.
AFAM chimes in. He says, we notoriously start slow. I can see us taking an L against Philly, and then gives Brad a shout. You're crushing it today.
Of course,
attaboy,
AFAM.
Brad.
Thank you.
Obviously love special teams talk. That's what's up. But I love the results that we got today, right? They're very encouraging for the Green Bay Packers. They're very encouraging for what we want to see going into week one. Now, for me, though, I would still like to see this team go out there and at least play a series where you have, you know, six to eight plays out there where the offense gets a chance just to go out there.
Real quick, three and out.
Put them right back out there. Put them right back out there for one more series. And then after that, you go ahead and move on. But it's not the decision that I want, right? It's about what Matt LaFleur wants to do. And Matt LaFleur has displayed last week with his actions, and he adjusted it this week, where he basically said they were not going to play against the preseason game against the Broncos, regardless of how they practiced that week, whether they were into practice or they weren't into practice, whether they performed well and executed the way they were supposed to against the Broncos in a joint practice. It did not matter. And then he changed his tune this week. But clearly Matt LaFleur has no real he has no real desire to actually have them play in the game, in the preseason game. And basically, I think his mentality and approach he had this week was, you guys got to earn it, right? And I'm big on making sure guys earn the ability to be able to do stuff. And based off the performance today that we saw from Jordan Love and the Green Bay Packers, Jordan Love tore it up today. That's exactly what we want to hear. The defensive line.
I'd say he had a really good day.
I mean, he had 216 yards.
He started 5 of 12 with an interception.
Four red zone touchdowns. He ended the day well. So for me, that's a good day, and he heated
that's
up.
That's where the money's made.
And exactly. And so for me, the Green Bay Packers did enough in order for them to be rewarded with not having the start.
But you still
want
to see them.
I would still like to see them one more time, but I am encouraged because this is a team in the Baltimore Ravens that is a really good football team, and the fact that they were able to go up against that football team and come out with confidence, right? That's what you want, because if you can believe it, if you don't want to, but the Green Bay Packers lost a little confidence against the Denver Broncos because they thought they stuffed it stank. They went out there, got hit in the mouth, and they realized we got to lock back in, and that's exactly what they did, and I'm happy from this positive result.
Yeah, I mean, for me, I personally, you know, I think it's more of a selfish thing more than anything. Like, I want to see him. I only saw him three plays, right? And then it was like, oh, wow, I'm just kind of watching something that's in the background. And then if there was a kicker that came out, you maybe peeked your eyes open to see if Greg Joseph and Anders Carlson was going to make it.
You bet you did.
But outside of that, I'm thinking to myself, well, at this point, I have to trust Matt LaFleur, you know, basically because when you think about the amount of preseason games and reps that they got last year as a young team, right? It was obviously very important heading into a season in which they started 2-5 because they were the youngest team in the NFL. Now, when the youngest team in the NFL goes to the playoffs and wins a playoff game, it's not the entire team that was, you know, back for this year, but there's a good majority of guys that understood what it took to have not just sustained success in late regular season games to get to the playoff, but to go into Jerry World and demolish the Cowboys, right? And so that still lives within them. So if you saw enough of what you've seen from your guys, right? You're the head coach. You're around them, not 365. You know, Brad talks about, you know, the gap between mandatory mini camps and training camps, a little mini vacay. But you're around your guys enough to know where they're at. And based off the fact that he's made playoffs for the last 5 years, I'm going to trust Matt LaFleur on this call. If he believes that what he saw today and from this week of practice – that this team is where they need to be for week one, he shouldn't play him. If he thinks that, look, I think we're still young, we've been a little too inconsistent for my liking, I understand the injury risk of putting guys out there, but also there's injury risk in everything, right? We've seen Joe Burrow pull his calf in just like tag drills.
Yeah.
Where they're not even tackling.
Very non-conference.
Him. So at this point, I just think if Matt LaFleur, and I can't believe I'm saying this because, you know, I do like to get at Matt a little bit about trying to find his identity. But to his resume, he is a good coach, right? They've made the playoffs for the last 5 years. He's made it to two NFC championship games. I don't care if the quarterback was Aaron Rodgers or Bart Starr. What he did as a first-year head coach, winning 13 games 3 years in a row, he understands success, right? You know, there's a quarterback's very important, but he had enough around his entire team to lead them to a place of all right, I know what it takes to get to X. And if he believes that they can get to X with where they've been through this offseason, don't throw him out there. But selfishly, I want to see him.
You know what's interesting about Matt LaFleur? I agree. I don't think he wants to play his guys in preseason. I think he had to last year to figure out what he had. But this year, I'm reading that he doesn't want to have his guys play. It almost seems like he is the coach that we described a little bit yesterday, right? Using one word to describe Matt LaFleur. He doesn't like being the bad guy. I think it's not who he is, right? And this team almost seems like they perform better when their back's against the wall and they're called out and they're underdogs and underappreciated. So he has a really interesting thing that he's got to do where he's got to, like, be tough on the guys and create a little bit of edge when that's not really his personality. That's why I think he did so well with all those veterans with Aaron Rodgers. I think he more naturally would like to be more player friendly, a little bit more easy on them and let them just be players.
Isn't that?
Yeah, and what he was able to do with those old guys is let them be vets, because vets know what it takes to 100%. Be at a certain level.
And that's why it was so important when we talked about yesterday, how do we define Matt LaFleur as a coach, right? That's why it's so important for him to have this identity, because they are still budding young stars. They're still trying to figure out how to be veterans, and that's why it's so encouraging seeing them really refocus from what they did last week and be able to respond the way they did against a very good football team. That exactly shows you what the potential is for this team, but how can Matt LaFleur get them to sustain this type of success? That is the ultimate challenge that he has to do. When you know that you have basically a stud at all different positions, when you know you have a Kentucky Derby triple crown type horse, but you need to harness it all in and put it all together so that horse can be a champion, he has to figure out how to train this team up to make sure that every single time that they kick off a football, they are locked in and they're ready to go and they're going to put on their best performance. Never play down to the competition. Never get complacent. Always go out there and go out there to try to dominate every single game. That's what he has to get out this football game.
And I was going to try and do an analogy because I actually thought I was going to have a good one, but it required a lot of reading and a lot of words on the first article that I clicked. I was going to try and figure out where this young Packers team, if they were the youngest team in the NFL last year, they were moldable, right? They were in that, like, adolescent, even like, you know, babyish stage, right? Like you're trying to form that those habits, try things, figure out what works, figure out what, you know, how to make them grow. And now they're in year two. Like, are they like 3 to 5 year olds? Are they 5 to 10 year olds? Right? Because you get to a certain age and people become self-sufficient, right? People know what they're like. They know how to brush their teeth, right? Those are habits that you put in now for these young guys that hopefully if they stay as a core together, Matt LaFleur doesn't have to be the guy that has to. I love what you said there, Brad. He's got a fine line right now. He's trying to be the player's coach, but you also, for a young team, guys who are young, they're like, it's just natural, right? It's natural for you to maybe be like, oh, I'm good.
I'm
in the NFL. No, it takes consistent hard work every single day if you want to hold the trophy up at the end of the year.
And it doesn't seem like this team responds particularly well to being crowned, right? Because I think they started training camp. Everyone's riding high on them. It's taken longer for them to get their feet underneath them than we all expected. Every time their back was against the wall last year, that's when they played their best football. Every time that they were underdogs, they played their best football. It's a completely new challenge to now be the one that you expect to win and to not allow that to permeate into your play and, like you said, get complacent.
Well, I talked to Jason Wilde earlier. I was lucky enough to talk to him during our show prep, and I know he's joining us next.
Oh,
it's
wow.
Jason Wilde joining Kyle Brustad-Ortman with reaction from the joint practice. It's next.
So tell me now, do you want it? Because these dancing feet don't cry to the rhythm that cry for you.
Joining us now on Kyle Brustad-Ortman across ESPN Wisconsin is Jason Wilde. You can hear Jason on Wilde and Tausch 9 to noon across these various stations. Ben Bruss, Kyle Wallace, Brad Nortman, no Alex Strofe, Chris Larson in for him. How are you, Jason?
I'm good, guys. How are you?
You know, it's always an emotional roller coaster as it comes to reacting to things as they happen with Kyle Wallace. And I guess take everything into account from the three plays we saw from them in the preseason game with the ones, to the what you've heard in Denver, to what you saw with the Ravens. How would you characterize the last 3 weeks and, you know, the feel for the Green Bay Packers locker room and where they're headed?
Two words, Super Bowl.
Oh, wow.
You hear that, Kyle? Celebrate!
I like that. I like that a lot.
I'm not
not sure I mean it, but
Jason,
these are the ups and downs, right? This is the reality. Like, you know, the other team gets paid too, but today they had a really good day, which, in the grand scheme of things, it matters where you're at today, and then where you are tomorrow, and then where you are, obviously, before you get on that plane for Brazil, and where you're at when you get there. Like, it doesn't matter that they were crappy against Denver at this point. Like, what did they do about it? And it would appear that they came out today and had a much better effort, a much better focus. Jordan Love, because I said to him, you know, what makes you so confident in the offense? Like, Denver obviously got the best of you. Your defense has gotten the best of you for most of camp. And, you know, he said that he thought the issue in Denver was just a lack of detail and that they did those things today. And when they do those things, they were pretty darn good today offensively. They had a little bit of trouble early on in the team run 11-on-11 period. Love threw a pick that Roquan Smith made a great play on. But overall, they were pretty good in the red zone, and then they were quite good on the two-minute drill. Like, there was a lot to feel good about offensively, and then, you know, I was able to watch some of the defense, and then I watched all of the two-minute drills. You know, all three of the Packers' offenses, first, second, and third string, all got the game-tying field goal in the two-minute, and all three of the Packers' defenses got stops against the Ravens. So,
hey,
you know, today was a good day for them, and you should, by extension, as a fan, feel good too.
Well, it's certainly exciting for the Green Bay Packers, and you mentioned field goals. And that led me into a conversation that you guys on Wildy and Tausch kicked off a little bit for us, and we just kind of evolved it a little bit as well. And I went out and said, look, I would trade one of the Packers' four top receivers for Justin Tucker, right? And I like to see Carlson do well. Seems like he's doing better, and I'm rooting for him. You know I'm a specialist guy, Jason. But, like, hypothetically, if you have the opportunity to get an elite, one of the best kickers of all time, and assurances of points once you get to the 40, I would take Justin Tucker. I think that's more valuable than having four stud receivers. I'm good with three and an elite kicker. Is that a crazy take, or are you aligned with how I'm thinking?
I got the drug test kit ready if you need me to have him take it.
No, so here's the thing. And I've tried to be more open-minded, because remember, when you come from a newspaper background, and I don't think I'm nearly as cynical as some of my newspaper brethren are, but, like, this is all galactically stupid if you take it purely from the point of reality, because the Baltimore Ravens, under no circumstances, are trading the best kicker in NFL history, right? So from that perspective, it's just dumb. But, and this is what I said to Tausch, because he kind of, as he is known to do, took it and ran with it today. If you think of it from the perspective of, what does this say about how valuable I believe the kicking game is, or how valuable Goody would view the kicking game, then it becomes a constructive exercise. And so, you know, I look back on last year, and, you know, you guys have heard me say this many times, like, you don't keep a rookie kicker if you think you're a Super Bowl contender. You don't trade away one of your best corners in Rasul Douglas at the trade deadline if you think you're a Super Bowl contender. You don't stick with the rookie kicker so he can miss a critical kick in an NFC divisional playoff game on the road if you thought you were going to be in this position, right? They should have called Mason Crosby a month earlier when he was having his struggle, so you had a guy who'd been there, done that, to attempt that field goal. And so now everything is different, though. So now how valuable does he see the kicking game being? Now how willing is he to make a move or find someone else? I mean, you know, there was a kicker trade earlier today or yesterday.
Yeah, I saw that.
So how important does he view that?
as being, and then what is he prepared to do about it? Because it's like you just said, the expectation game has completely changed. The expectations are now that this is a team that is a playoff team, a contender, and maybe, maybe even a Super Bowl team. And if that's the case, then these types of conversations are fundamentally reasonable.
Yeah, and I think Brad's best argument was the guy who was voted number one out of the top 100 is Tyreek Hill. The Chiefs moved on from him, and Harrison Butker was just signed. Now, again, it's not apples to apples and money and whatnot, but it is some sort of a blueprint of what a maybe dynasty, if you want to call him, is doing. As Jason Woolley joins us here on Kyle Bruston-Ortman across ESPN Wisconsin.
Now, Jason, you said something that Jordan Love said. Denver issue was a lack of detail, and I really feel that's telling. Do you think that the response that the team had today had to do with their approach that Matt LaFleur took this week versus the approach of last week of telling guys, yeah, regardless of what happens this week, you're not going to play in the preseason game? Do you think that approach that Matt LaFleur played a big difference in today's approach or today's results?
I don't know. Yeah, I don't know if it made a big difference, but I definitely think it made a difference. I do think that there's a tendency to relax when you are told, all right, well, just have a good practice, and you guys aren't going to play in this meaningless game. I just think that's human nature, and I think Matt LaFleur admitted as much when I asked him about it the other day. So, yeah, I do think it factored in. Again, I don't think having a bad like, are the Ravens now going to go back to Baltimore and go, man, we had a bad practice.
Maybe we're not as good as we think we are.
They're what?
A veteran-laden team. You got Lamar Jackson. You got Derrick Henry. You got guys. I know their offensive line might be its holes, but like you feel more confident because you know what you're going to get from them.
Yeah, I mean, but at some point, I mean, obviously they are. This team is still young, but they're not as young as they were, right? I mean, you know, your quarterback is in his second year as the starter, but he's in his fifth year in the league, right? Josh Jacobs is new to the team, but he's a veteran. Your other big signing in the offseason, the linchpin of your defense, Xavier McKinney at safety, is a veteran. He's new to the team, but he's in his fifth year. You look at, you know, a lot of those other guys on defense, Kenny Clark, Preston Smith, Rashawn Gary, Jair Alexander, they're all veteran guys. And let's not forget, as much as we love all these wide receivers, like, they don't have any rookies in that group now. Right? Like, one guy in Grant Dubose was on the practice squad all year last year. But beyond that, they're all guys that at least have experience. So this is vastly different than the team they fielded last year. There's no doubt about that.
And Jason, I'm glad you just listed a lot of the veterans that are on this Green Bay Packers defense, because I don't know, maybe I'm not paying as close attention to things that are being put out there. I'm still curious as to, like, what the overall feel is from the 3-4 to the 4-3. Like, is that in training camp standing out as a good shift in philosophy? Like, do we need to wait and see still until, you know, we see them in real game action? I'm still trying to get a feel of what to expect, and maybe you don't have an answer because it's still a work in progress.
No, it's definitely an improvement. It definitely is. Now, half the league plays 4-3, half the league plays 3-4. But basically everybody in the league plays what is essentially a 4-2-5 because they play their nickel group so frequently. But I think the biggest difference is not necessarily the way the positions that guys are lining up in. It's two things. It's one, the more aggressive mentality. Like, it is a stark contrast from the Joe Barry keep everything in front of you system. There's no denying that. But the other thing, and I thought this was really interesting in talking to Matt LaFleur, is that it's simpler. Like, guys do the same stuff over and over and over again. They don't have as much read and react. That goes all the way from the front to the back. And so when you do it over and over and over again, you know this, whether it's about your jump shot or your mediocre, you know, defense, as Coach Bo Ryan would tell us. I mean, the bottom line is the more you do it, the better you're at it. And I think that because they have guys doing the same thing, like a defensive end. Very rarely now is Rashawn Gary going to drop back in coverage, right? And so he's doing the same thing no matter what the situation is. And that's healthy for him, and it simplifies things. And his muscle memory is better, and his confidence is better. And he doesn't have to think, oh, well, am I supposed to do this when we're in this situation? It's basically he's doing the same thing every time. And so I think that, more than anything, is where this defensive change is significant. 3-4-4-3, the way the 4-3 is played is what allows these guys to keep doing the same stuff, because nothing changes from base to sub and all that kind of stuff.
Well, Jason, we know you got to run. We appreciate the time. When we talk to you on Monday, we'll be even closer to real football, and appreciate the insight from today's practice.
All right, guys. Take care. Be good.
That's Jason Wilde. Listen to him. Wilde and Tausch, 9 to noon across these very stations. It's Kyle Bruston-Ortman across ESPN Wisconsin. I've been attacked. So has Brad. And I didn't even say this. During the show, something happened to me, and I...
Oh, no!
Get out.
No!
Yeah, I'll explain what happened next. Show every week presented by Gruber Law Offices, also brought to you by Pato, Wadami Casino Hotel, and Carbless. The NASA Sound and Kupo hangs out with special guests for fun and surprising conversations. He had a live show with Giannis, a chat with Jordan Love, and he gets the inside scoop on all things with fighting with Logan Paul. He has all the unique guests. Find The Analysis Show on Apple, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts. Plus, you can subscribe to The Analysis Show on YouTube to see exclusive video content from Thanasis. The Analysis Show, presented by Gruber Law Offices. One call. That's all.
Dirk was on yesterday.
Last week, but yeah, you can.
Oh, I heard. Oh, Dirk was last week too.
Yeah.
Oh, I just heard it yesterday.
Yeah, there you go.
But
you
should, like, go. Yeah,
you should get those notifications. Just so you subscribe to ESPN Milwaukee, ESPN Madison on YouTube, and you can watch us live there. It's Kyle Bruston-Ortman across ESPN Wisconsin. It's been a weird 3 days here. 2 days ago, we were trying to figure out things we don't understand and how they work. Then yesterday, in our pre-show meeting before the show, I started screaming a company that I saw in the Super Bowl that Homer wears headphones from, Homer of the Homer Hour, Temu. Temu, 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 Temu. I regret yelling that in our pre-show because, Brad, what, it's popped up 10 times for you?
Yeah, thanks a lot, Ben. On Twitter X, no less than 5 times, it's shown up on my feed. And I'm scrolling up. Those are the ones I've noticed. A lot of times I really try to, like, block out the ads, and I cannot help but see Temu everywhere over my Twitter X, but it doesn't stop there. My work computer that has been around, as Ben has been saying Temu, as we talked about Temu yesterday, I thought if there was anything, I understand the phone, right? Okay, the phone, I know there's a mic and everything. I thought our work computer was at least...
You know, the computer has a mic, yeah.
Yeah, I thought it was at least semi-fortified, though. I open up our main page, like, I don't even know what it is. It's like an MSN, like, just and what do you know? Right there, front and center, big old Temu banner ad.
Temu done got you.
They asked Kyle to be a remote worker.
They
literally called you 10 minutes after I said that.
They texted me
and
about that.
And guess what, guys? You know what
I'm putting in my 2 weeks.
Brad, you remember you golfed with me in the ESPN Milwaukee Open?
Sure did.
We were at the Marquette University activation hole.
Yes, sir.
And I was having some fun with them. Like, you know, nothing that serious. Like, oh, I'm not shooting on your hoop, whatever. They gave me a Marquette cup, and I set a golf ball on top. I took my driver, and I whacked the cup into the woods while breaking my driver head.
Oh, yes, that's terrible. That happened.
That is terrible.
This is 3:06 p.m. today on Twitter X. Temu ad. Do you need a new set of golf clubs?
No, they didn't do that.
Oh, wow.
No, they didn't.
Oh, my gosh. They watch it and listen at all times. They pick it up. I tell you, China got it.
I played golf on Friday when I was off. I had to ask for a demo driver, so
yep.
Like they're hearing me.
Yeah.
And now they're offering me damn golf clubs.
Oh, my goodness. They are good. They are so good.
They all are these, so...
Kyle, if you can't beat them, join them. No, thanks for, take
no,
the job.
No, for real. All anybody that thinks they're getting cheated on, hire T-Move. Because I tell you, they the feds. They are the feds. They hear everything.
Hire T-Move. They can hear everything.
I'm telling you, it's like a parasite. I mean, they just wiggle their way and they just latch on to your life, your world, and they keep on popping up in all these areas.
So
I'm legit concerned.
You wrote something in our pre-show document that said, we need to get away from society. And it got me thinking because we have our Green Bay Packers Green and Gold time capsule, which you can find on Twitter X, where you can fill out all of our questions that we're going to compile. I got about 50 of them at my desk. We're going to put them in a box. We're going to lock it up and bury it in my backyard and open it up after the end of the season. I got thinking about burying. It's called the Brad Nortman Estate.
Oh, I'm listening.
Do we got any people listen in 800-990-3776 to help us build a bunker?
I'm legit willing to
that,
start.
Like, they can't hear anything, like, yeah. No cell reception. Like, we live like cavemen, and
we there's plenty of room.
I don't know about the cavemen thing. We can go into the house for snacks and food and come back down.
It's just like a quiet place, right? You're looking in a quiet place when
TV,
they go through.
Though.
Yeah,
not
true.
From TV.
Well, that's what I'm thinking. Like, what do you really need? Like, I'm close to just like burrowing out an area of the North Minnesota. I'll make it big enough so we can all be there. But like, If I got a TV to watch my sports and, you know, I'll do the show remote. I got enough healthy food. Give me a treadmill, a couple weight. I'm good. What more do I need?
Brad.
I don't need Timu. I don't need any
of
this.
Are you scared of the society?
I'm getting there. Based on the way Timu is targeting me, that
Brad,
should scare you.
Let me ask you something. When you watch TV, do you have a cable box or do you stream?
I stream.
And what does that take?
Wi-Fi.
And you think for a second your TV ain't listening to everything you got to say to
me? We're going antennas.
I'm telling you.
Bunny ears. Let's do bunny ear antennas.
We're going antennas.
You know, you need to go. The big old matter of fact, I was driving over to my parents' house, and I drove past, you know, in the neighborhood, and I saw a big old TV. You know, big old tube TVs?
Oh,
the
60-inch
tube TVs, the fat back. You need to get one of them fat back TVs to go in that bunker.
I do need one of those. We just need to throw it back to, like, the 1990s.
I was just going to say, all I need is an N64.
We
can play Blitz. We can play GoldenEye. Yeah. We can play...
You didn't need internet back then.
No.
You just got the
power
closed
cord and the yellow. I got a question, actually. 800-990-3776. Maybe you guys will know the answer. Do you remember in video game systems or DVD players or anything you connect to the TV? Now it's all HDMI cords.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Do you remember the yellow, the white, and the red?
Yeah.
Yes.
All you needed was the yellow and the white. What the heck does the red do?
I don't know what that did.
Does anybody know what the red did?
I feel like red has something with sound too, right?
No,
with left or right stereo. Because I put in all three on some of the TVs I had. It had boop, boop, boop.
Chris,
what are they called?
What are the yellow, white, and reds do? Yellow is, visual. White was sound. And then red just, I didn't even plug it in.
I think they wanted to think you had more reliance on the cord. You know, another thing I wondered if it actually worked.
Dick Van Dyke chimes in. This is our next ad. Timu ad. Are you in need of a bunker and a treadmill?
Oh my gosh. Now that's funny.
If you get that targeted ad, do you need a bunker or a treadmill? I'm leaving Earth.
Officially doing it.
We
need to find a way to get like a closed end internet. Is there a thing like that?
Yeah, here's the thing, fellas. How much it is kind of sad how we have literally no privacy whatsoever in our lives, and we've given the government, we've given our cell phones, we've given these apps. Literally everything. Matter of fact, we are going to be AI. If we're still doing this show in a decade, which I hope KBN Nation will be here celebrating our 10-year, 9 years from now. When we take days off, we'll be AI, right? We're going to be giving our voices away. Fellas, just let it be. Let it be.
No, you need to fight the system,
no,
Kyle.
You know, okay,
that's not me calling for an insurrection. I'm just saying, like, we just need to, like, slow down, KBN Nation.
Whoa! Easy, bro.
Take it back.
This is really getting to you.
Yeah, we need to, you can't allow AI to just make AI Kyle Wallace.
You know what?
You're accepting it. You're just laying down and dying.
I love life. I love everything about this technology that we have. I absolutely do. You can scan documents and boop, just scan it. All of a sudden, it's an email. I can make phone calls to people across the globe. I can put a private. I can go on my internet browser and put on privacy, and then they won't know what
I'm looking
at. I
wish I was born 10 years earlier.
That privacy doesn't do anything.
Oh yes, it does.
No, it
incognito.
Doesn't.
Mike in Lake Mills, you're our tech guy. Welcome into Kyle Bruston-Ortman.
Hey guys, what do you want to know?
What is the red in the yellow, white, and red plug-in in TVs 10 years
ago? I think the red and the white were like if it's like non-stereo, like left, right channels of stereo.
Yeah, that's what I
and
thought.
And then like, if you have a white channel, you have a non-stereo TV, and I think the yellow is for video.
Yeah, Mike, confirm.
So I've been a technician for 25 years, so... That's called the RCA jack. The RCA jack, the yellow was for video. White and red were left and right audio channels.
There it is.
And you can buy a converter to go to HDMI. So you could still use your old systems and plug it in. That's about $10 on Amazon.
Yeah. When they first came out.
Not Temu. I'd rather get Bezos all my information than Temu, who keeps targeting
China.
This is
RCA cords are definitely going to be on Temu, but I used to have to do that. I had to get the adapters.
Are they listening to everything?
Yes.
And by then,
have you not watched documentaries?
Do you still have our technician on?
Or is he gone? He's on hold. I can put him back on.
Put him back on. Mike!
Mike, you're here.
I don't even know who they are, but are they listening to everything?
Temu and everything?
Temu, government, everybody. They, them.
Oh, yeah. I would always browse as a guest if I were you on Chrome.
What about incognito? Wait a minute. Does incognito work now? Because I got some things I'd be looking at.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely.
How can that work, though?
No way. I don't buy it.
Hey.
I don't buy. Trust me. I do it. I'm on incognito all the time. But I tell you what, I know even on incognito, if they want to find my incognito, they're going to find my incognito.
But that would be the perfect trap, right? To be like, oh, hey, this is a way that we won't track anything. And then they still track it. Those are the things they probably want to track anyway.
I don't know if they want to track.
Temu ad, do you need RCA cables?
It's coming. It's definitely coming.
Brad is the Rutledge is an idiot guy here. RCA cables, yellow is video, white and red were left and right audio. Yeah. Simple question. Lots of good answers from KBN Nation. Speaking of Jim, Matt, and Molly, there won't be a Jim, there won't be a Matt, but there will be a Molly of Jim, Matt, and Molly.
Hey, all right.
Joining us next for a little crosstalk before they take over on 100.5 ESPN. We're with you till 5 o'clock on 94.5. Well, of course... Can't make this up. Just talked about wanting a bunker at the Nortman Estate, and Temu strikes again 1 minute ago. We have screenshots, we have timestamps. What is your ad, Brad Nortman, Kyle Bruston-Ortman across ESPN Wisconsin?
Temu, shop for sofa beds.
It's exactly what we needed, a bunker.
Literally. And that might be the scariest part, because they've already heard. They didn't say for your bunker, but they're starting to brainstorm. We hear bunker. What do you need for a bunker without saying what you need for a bunker? This would be perfect for a bunker. You don't have a lot of space.
Ben Brust, Kyle Wallace, Brad Nortman, Chris Larson running the show. It's time now to be joined by... Downtown Molly Brown of Jim, Matt, and Molly, 4 to 6 on 100.5 ESPN Madison. What do they call you on Jim, Matt, and Molly?
Do you know what's funny? Because somebody just asked me the other day if I don't like being called Downtown Molly Brown anymore because nobody calls me that.
Why were you
so
called
I appreciate...
that?
Why would he call me that?
No, why were you called Downtown Molly Brown? I don't know if
honestly,
I would like
I don't
that
know.
Name.
I think... That's probably like a Scalzo and Brust thing that you guys started.
We called her Downtown Molly Brown when she was in training, helping produce the show.
Okay, yeah. I wouldn't want to be called down. A lot of weird things happen downtown.
I did find out that Molly's father called her Maladina.
Yeah, okay, go ahead.
Maladina Muffin Pie.
And you still call me that. Like every time I see you, you call me
that.
Is
that an HR violation?
Time.
Do I need to stop that?
No, it's fine. I'm not complaining.
Brett, you're not HR. I'm having a conversation with the person that I'm asking if it's acceptable or not. I don't know if you've had a chance to listen to our conversation. Obviously, we've been talking a lot about the joint practice today with the Green Bay Packers. But AI is taking over. They're listening. We are getting served ads from Temu nonstop just by mentioning their name, and they're targeting us for what we need in our lives. Do you have those weird things, anything come to mind that pops up where you're like, what the hell?
Oh, for sure. I feel like I've talked about like local restaurants and they come up randomly. If I say, oh, I need to buy a new pair of jeans, there's all of a sudden a new pair of jeans that shows up on my timeline. It's funny that you're mentioning Temu, though, because I actually had a piece of mail delivered from Temu the other day, but it wasn't mine.
It's our fault.
Yeah. Probably. It was not mine. It was one of my neighbors, though. But I really wanted to open the package. I know this is illegal, but I really wanted to open it because I'm like, what is in there? But I've heard if you order things from Temu, you got to be careful because they might come in like doll size. Have you heard this?
No. That's not Temu.
Doll size?
That's
What's
Wish.
Temu, Kyle?
That's Wish. Oh, that's what the old people call it. Temu.
Here we go. Temu. Targeted by something else. What is this Wish?
Wish.com. That's where the stuff is too small.
I don't know. I've never ordered from either.
My mother is a big fan, and let me tell you.
What a weird...
I will say, too, my mom ordered a rice cooker from Temu, and she got a baby rice cooker. Like a very small, like Monopoly-sized piece rice cooker.
One piece of rice?
She didn't read the details.
How much did she pay for it? Like, a quarter? Plus shipping?
I can't remember how much she paid for it, but
it's always too good to be true.
What a weird world we live in. But Molly, I know you're a big Packer fan. And you know what? I'm not going to lie. How the offense in particular has done throughout training camp, not necessarily to my level of expectation or theirs, a little bit streaky sometimes. Seems like today from reports at practice that they turned it on and they caught fire and they were hitting in rhythm and they were doing really well against the Baltimore Ravens. If Matt LaFleur decided not to play Jordan Love and the offensive starters on Saturday, would you be content with where they're at starting week one in Philadelphia? Or do you think they still need a little more work in them to play on Saturday?
I mean, I don't love it. I was hoping that these joint practices this week, especially against the Ravens, I was hoping that was going to give us a little bit more and show us that they're a little bit more ready going into week one against the Eagles. But there's no way that he's going to have them play on Saturday. There's no way, right? Like, I know he hasn't announced yet, but he's not playing Jordan Love on Saturday. There's not a chance.
I mean, are you comfortable with that?
I'm very nervous that if he does play or any of the starters play, then there's going to be something that goes wrong. They're going to get hurt, and then
a worrier? Is this the new mom in you? Do you worry about everything that goes in the kid's system?
No, I'm certainly not like that. A crunchy mom, I believe it's called. I'm not a crunchy mom. Have you heard of this?
I've never heard that before.
I'm probably a crunchy dad.
What is a crunchy mom? Crunchy. What is a crunchy mom? What characteristics?
So I believe based on my Instagram searches of crunchy moms, it's like when you go to the grocery store and you're like, oh, there's red dye in this. You're not eating this. Or, oh, this isn't organic. You're not eating
bad
this.
Mom, bad mom! Bad mom!
It sounds like I'm a crunchy dad, then, for sure.
That's great. Red dye for you.
Yeah. Get that red dye out of here.
It has what in it?
Ben, does your kid eat food yet?
We've been piecing together. Oh, my gosh. So... my fiance is like every day. It's like we got to try the new thing: the avocado, the cottage cheese, the eggs.
Yep.
And it's the funniest thing because the things that I don't like, I'm like praying my kid doesn't like. Is that bad?
That's selfish.
I know people like cottage cheese. The texture, the look, it grosses me out.
Yep.
My daughter like tried it, and my fiance goes, "Oh, this is the face she always makes." 10 seconds later. Vomits it all up, and I was like, yes!
That is dark.
I get it. It's also weird, too, because like baby puke already looks like cottage cheese. I know it's disgusting and a little bit graphic, but it's true.
It's true. Don't say these things, because Kyle pushes off his engagement by 2 years every time he learns what it's going to be like if he's going to have a kid.
Oh, wow. Yeah, that is definitely very worrisome that I'm going to deal with kids having puke looking like
cottage
cheese.
Are you kidding me, Kyle?
You're already not much of a kid
guy. Dude, you need a dog, man.
Absolutely not.
Yeah, I mean, you need to learn to pick up poop.
You need
exposure therapy. You know what? I need a babysitter Saturday. You free?
Oh,
how much you paying? I do too.
How much y'all paying?
Double the price.
I heard our babysitters are costly.
It costs more than the date.
Maybe that is true. That is very true. Maybe next time, Ben, we talk about baby blowouts for Kyle. Does that sound good?
Oh wow!
Hamilton laugh.
It's unmistakable laugh.
Everywhere. It doesn't happen when you have them in your hand.
Everywhere.
It was 3 a.m. in the middle of the night, and I heard a scream. I thought someone was breaking in. It was just poop everywhere.
Oh, no.
And you got to get your ass out of bed and help. Just get a baby. I'm going back to sleep.
These babies lactose, too?
No. What are you talking about?
drink milk. They can't
be. No, they can be. There's special milk, I think.
Well, Kyle's just going to need that. That's Molly from Jim, Matt, and Molly. You got them, as I saw their YouTube title. Should the starters play in the preseason game? I'm sure they'll fill you in there. We'll continue on. Kyle, Bruston, Ortman across 94.5 ESPN, 1430 ESPN Beaver Dam. In 2 minutes, don't you go anywhere.